Hey, Vintarians and other gamers, and welcome to Vintage Storytellers, the podcast where we talk about the game Vintage Story, as well as the lovely community that formed around it. I'm Aki, and in this very first episode, I have the pleasure to talk to Ashantan, a YouTuber who is very active in the community and single-handedly has made one of the most helpful tutorial video series for the game. We're going to talk about how we found the game, what makes it special for us, and what could make it special for others. So let's start this off. And thank you, Ashantan, for being here with me.
You're welcome.
But first, the listeners might wonder what this game is even about. Now, the developers describe the game as an uncompromising wilderness survival sandbox game inspired by Lovecraftian horror themes. But what exactly does that even mean? I'm going to ask Ashantan for help explaining it.
Vintage Story is a computer game, and it's what they call a sandbox game, which means you are given a set of world generation, you're given blocks, chunks, pixels, and it's a survival game, it's an exploration game, it's a building game. But it's also a very wondrous game because it's exceedingly beautiful. It's not a game where you follow a set pattern. You do as you want, you go as you want, you play it as you want. So there is no beginning, there is no end. You can play it single player or you can play it on big servers. It's also a game that's in early access. It's being developed by a phenomenal pair of developers.
So, unlike other games, Vintage Story does not yet have a quest or a linear way to play it. Instead, much like other block games that come to mind, the game is very open and lets the players define their own way. There is, however, a lore to this game and much to be uncovered. But we'll talk more about that later. For now, I'm very interested in how you found this game, Ashantan.
I was playing Minecraft, which is another sandbox game. And I was teaching another computer gamer, BU4U, how to play Minecraft. I'm not a redstoner in Minecraft, and I was having problems with redstone. So we reached out to another computer gamer, a friend of ours called HellDM, and he was playing Vintage Story with his friend, Catty. So we agreed that we would invite them into our Minecraft realm, and they sorted out the redstone and we made a recording together. In exchange, they wanted us to visit Vintage Story. So I had to buy the game to go and visit them, which I did. BU4U was already a player. And I spawned in. And I was two-thirds up a sheer cliff face.
Oh.
My spawn had to be believed. And I looked down and I saw what a fabulously beautiful world it was. And at that moment, I just fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
We went and visited them and saw a little bit about it, which I wasn't that enthusiastic about. But I decided I would have a go at playing and recording a series. And after that, I've almost switched completely. And it's just a fantastic game for me. I love the beauty of it. And the fact that it's quite an adult game, and I don't mean in terms of sex or horror.
Yeah.
What I mean is that you have to work very, very hard on smelting and finding ores and things. There's a lot of grind in it. It's not a game, and it's not cartoony. Yeah. It's very, very close to real life. So I absolutely love it. That's how I fell in love with it. Yeah. What about you?
I remember I came from TFC, which is Terraformercraft. It's a mod for Minecraft also. So well, I guess we're coming both from like the same niche of the gaming world. But yeah, this mod does a lot of similar things. But of course, it's based on Minecraft. So it has restrictions that Vintage Story luckily does not have and specifically does not want to have as well. I was on the TFC Discord and someone mentioned Vintage Story and I was like, well, let's just check it out. And I had the same feeling when I first saw the game. I was like, oh my God, this is stunning.
This is
so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the one of the things that I always tell people, like, yeah, Minecraft is fine, modded Minecraft, nice, shaders, yeah, sure. But if you look into Vintage Story and you load the same the first time into the game and you're just like, it's beautiful. Doesn't yes. need shaders.
One of the things that got me is that when I first started playing, there were little things that were so beautiful. Yeah. The night sky is full of stars, oh my God, and yes. it looks gorgeous.
And the aurora.
And it has fireflies.
Yes.
And for a game that had only just sort of started out when I started playing, mm-hmm. to actually have fireflies, it was magical.
Yes.
And they have things like the aurora borealis.
Yes, and that one is breathtaking.
It's not many games that put in beautiful things.
Yes.
Like
yes.
those butterflies, being able to skip stones across a lake, yes. things that are no use at all.
Exactly.
But they're just so beautiful.
Yes, and then sometimes in the middle of all the grinding you do for the game, sometimes you just sit on your porch and look over what you've done and you're like, this is beautiful, I can sit here for a while and just look, you know,
yeah.
that feeling.
Yeah. And many of us do. Many of us, we're playing yes. the game, we're trying to do something, and you suddenly stop and you look at it and you think, oh my goodness, that's yes. gorgeous.
Exactly. It gives it the whole thing a little bit feeling of peace as well, I think.
Yes, there is a very strong feeling of peace in the game.
Despite
And all also, yeah, it's really wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, despite all, like, the we have horror elements, we have the drifters, and other even worse enemies, to be honest. But still, like, even in the nighttime with them scrambling about, I always have the feeling it's peaceful and kind of, yeah, just beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a bit about the beauty of the game, and to be honest, I don't think we'll ever stop talking about it. But there's another thing that makes this game really great, namely the developers and their interaction with the community. So let's take a deeper look at that.
The other point I would make is the responsiveness of the developers.
Yes, true.
They're very willing to listen to valid points of view.
Yes. And I mean, Tyrone is like, you mention a bug and I've seen him fix that very same bug on the very same day sometimes.
It's like, well, his wife plays on the same server as I play on.
True. That helps.
We have things called teleporters that take you from place to place.
Yeah.
And there was such a problem with the teleporters that he was actually watching his wife stuck in a teleporter. And I tell you, that fault was sorted out within half an hour.
Of course.
Your wife is stuck in a teleporter. That fault's going to be sorted out.
I mean, you guys are lucky. Yeah. No, it's really both of them. Sarity, when you talk with her about what she would love to add to the game, we had this conversation yeah. about if deers would be rideable and added to the game. It was a really nice conversation we had on the Discord as well.
I know. I mean, she and I have quite a few private conversations, and I have a collection of jewelry boxes, and
nice.
I sent her photos of all of them because they would make the most wonderful chests
yes.
with different aspects, not just a chest in a different colored wood,
yeah.
but, you know, different aspects.
Well.
And I think she'll do it, given
that
time.
That would be awesome. This is another aspect of the game that many people, I think, really like. You have these collectible items, like the crystallized ores and stuff like that. And it's just really, really nice what you can find or specifically search for that's just there to be beautiful. Again.
Oh, I know. And I love collecting things.
So, yes.
I mean, I'll collect the trees, the plants, the yeah. flowers, you know, you name it, I'll collect it. The pots.
Yes. I mean, the pots.
Not much.
Really,
I don't collect.
Really nice. Yeah.
After this bit of fangirling and all the talk about the game, you might be wondering who we are and what exactly we do in and around the community. I've introduced Ashantan in the beginning, but that's not enough by far. So, Ashantan, what kind of YouTube videos do you make for Vintage Story?
I run a single-player world, and in that world I make a lot of tutorials. Anything I don't understand on the Vintage Story wiki, I tend to make a tutorial. And also I play on a server called Aura Fury server. And I play with a group called Pendle. So I make videos in a single player world. I make videos on a server. And I also make tutorials. So I've got three strands of different videos for the game. But also I have a strand where occasionally there is a build that is so special that I ask if I can go and video it. And I have a best builds strand as well.
That those are actually one of my favorite videos of yours. I mean, apart from the tutorials, which are really great help also for me.
I think one of the things is that, as you know, I'm English, but I speak very clear what they call international English. Mm. And because I pronounce every word quite clearly, most people who speak English can follow my tutorials easily. Yeah. I'm not someone who's trying to do it quickly.
Yes.
Or anything. And it tends to be the sort of left click, right click, place it down by doing X. And it really is words of one syllable we say in English. But I think if you help people like that, it does make things clearer.
Exactly. And honestly, I think like there's people who do tutorials in a very summarized and very short way for people who just want to get like, I want the info right now and I want it this way. But your tutorials do a little differently because you take your time with it. So yes, people have also to take some time with it, but they will in the end understand it more clearly and more in depth is what I think.
The other thing is I make tutorials in a survival world. I don't make it in a creative world.
Yeah.
And it's much easier when you can actually see people doing things in a survival world. It seems more real than just somebody with a flat piece of grass and blocks at their fingertips.
Also, it gives more of an understanding that what you're doing on screen right now can, of course, be done by themselves.
Yes.
So that is immensely helpful. I think so too. And I always enjoy when you contact me about like a new tutorial because then I know, oh yes, finally I have this tutorial that I can link on a wiki page. It's so nice.
People are so different.
Yes.
In the way that they learn, in the way that they take in information.
Yes, exactly. And this is also why I really like that we have the different channels. Like we have the Discord help channel. We have people helping on the forums as well. We have the different YouTubers and streamers doing their part of the job, basically. And of course, like the wiki and just directly answering questions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I often put one of my tutorials up because it's actually quicker if I can persuade someone to watch that than to try and explain it all in writing.
Yes.
But the nice thing is there's so many new players.
Yes.
And so many people piling into this game. That we are going to have to keep explaining the basics over and over again in gameplay help. And that's fine because one of the things that I know that you noticed and I notice is that it's an incredibly friendly community.
It is, yes.
And you, if you ask for help, there is always somebody who will try to help you, always.
And I also think it really helps us that we have new players asking the same questions again and again because we can focus the answer and we can make it better each time we answer so that they will understand more easily because we already know, okay, we are veterans and we have all the knowledge already at our fingertips or somewhere in our dusted brains, but they don't. So we have to come up with new ways to explain it every time. I think that's really beautiful because it keeps building the community as well, the interaction between new players and old players. And there's always something that you have to do.
Yeah. And I find that some of the servers, well, most of the servers I've been on are very helpful as well.
Yeah.
Where you've got people who will say, look, it's hard starting on a new server when other people are established. You know, come to my base for shelter. I'll get you started with something. Tell me what you need. And if you send out a cry for help, somebody will always help you.
As we've mentioned before, Vintage Story isn't the easiest of games. You have to worry about food and temperature, and specifically on big established servers, it can be quite hard to start out without the help of others. Apart from the sheer complications of surviving, the game has another layer of difficulty. finding ores and minerals necessary for further advancements. The stone layers and ore spawn of the game was made very realistic and sometimes very frustrating. But it can also be quite amazing how detailed the game world was built.
The world generation of the rock formations was assisted by a guy called Red Ram, and he was an early game player as well. And he got in touch with Tyron, and he's what they call a rock hound. He's a mineral collector. He loves going out and prospecting and collecting different rocks. Mm-hmm. And he's an expert on rock strata and crystals and all the different types of rocks and sedimentary rocks, what minerals would be found with which rocks. And he just told Tyron all about it. So it's very, very realistic.
That's true. That's also something that confuses many people, I think, that because they're so used to other games like, well, Minecraft, where it has like biomes or you just have to dig down far enough to find stuff. But in Vintage Story, it's completely different because we don't really have biomes like Minecraft has. And the stone layers can be totally different. Each world you start, or if you go like 1,000 blocks farther, then it will be completely different. And people have to get used to that.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that you have to smelt iron. You have to, you know, you have to beat rocks and crush them with your hammer to get at the ores. Then you have to smelt the ores and you pour them into molds and you're pouring hot metal. And they're all different colors. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Yes, it is. Also,
but like, time-consuming.
It is time-consuming, yes, patience is needed. And also, I think the smithing system can be, and also the clay system, and going farther in that direction, can be quite complicated for some people because you have to do a lot of, it's like a mini-game inside of the game, and you have to do a lot of little clicking and knowing what goes where and what you need to do with that hammer on that anvil. I think for new players who've never been in touch with games like Terraformacraft, for instance, or other survival games, it can be quite challenging to get into that.
Well, I have to say that I watched a guy called Etho play Terraformacraft, and I loved watching it. But I remember watching this thing thinking, I would never, never in a million years play a game like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm playing one that's just as grindy, but it makes more sense to me. It makes a lot more sense to me.
It's true. I think all the work processes that we have in Vintage Story are kind of very refined.
They're very, very sophisticated.
Yes.
That's what I like about it. It's not at all cartoony.
Yeah.
And this is why really a very young child, one wouldn't like it because it's a lot of hard work, but also some of the monsters are terrifying.
They are.
If you're a small child.
Yes.
Particularly the things down at the bottom of the mines.
Don't even get me started about the bell. I mean,
oh gosh, no.
That thing is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you're, say, 10 or upwards, and suppose you were interested in geology or something, you know, then it is a game for a slightly older group of children, but certainly not the sort of 4, 5, 6-year-olds.
Yeah. I think, honestly, that the survival genre in its total form is more for a mature audience already. And Vintage Story goes into that niche as well in the survival genre.
Yeah, yeah.
And on top of that,
it does.
Well, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I have the feeling that in the community that we have right now, there's not many younger players around yet. It might be because you cannot easily find the game. Like, it's not on Steam. It's on Humble Bundle, which is, like, I think one of the only platforms that is easily accessible for people. But apart from that, there's not much. Well, you can't easily find it if you're not looking for something specifically like that.
I've got some viewers who are in the 13 to 17 age bracket.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Mm,
yeah.
I would have
And the interesting thing is that as a YouTuber, you see the statistics of what age groups are watching your videos. And mine is a bell curve, with the largest group between 30 to 40. Yeah. That's the top of the bell curve.
Yeah.
But I do have some at the bottom end and some at the top end as well, sort of 65 plus.
Yeah.
So I've got people of all ages watching, but I was very surprised. And it's only in about the last 3 or 4 weeks that some real youngsters have come in.
Yes, I could imagine that's because we're getting a bit more exposure from like very big name YouTubers and streamers.
Yes, so. Yes. When Paul Soares played the game, it brought so many people into my channel. And then you've got people like Packrat came in, Jassassin.
Yeah, we're getting a few bigger names in the community.
Yes, we are, yes. And a lot of streamers.
Yes. Which is, I think, quite nice.
Well, I like it, and I think there's some lovely people coming in.
Yes, definitely. And it's also, it's really nice that we're getting so many new people. It can get a little bit overwhelming, but I really like that the game is getting more exposure.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I do find difficult is when people want to change it.
Oh, yes.
To be like Minecraft.
Oh, yes. Or to be like other games or to...
Yes, and the thing is, it's going in its own direction.
Yes.
And the community have a huge input into it.
Yeah.
Also, I don't play fighting games. I tend to play very peaceful building games and survival games, of course. I find it difficult when people say, I want guns, I want guns. You've got a sword, a spear, and a bow and arrow. What more do you need?
Well, I mean, I totally see the game somewhere and having like flintlocks or something like that. You know, the very early stages of gunpowder. I mean, we have bombs, but like that's about it.
Well, and I love the ore bombs.
Yes. But like, I mean, the game will go until Steam Age is what the developers have already told us. So there is, of course, chances for more weaponry, definitely. And I kind of have to agree with people saying that the combat system we have is a little bit wonky. I really hope that it will continue going into its own direction and not like go and adapt to other games or other like mainstream thinking, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I think this is quite a view on the part of developers.
Yes.
I think they've set out their vision for the game and how it's going to develop.
Yeah.
And they listen to the community all the time. But you can tell what strands they want to develop next.
You got a pretty good look into what Vintage Story is and what makes it so great in our eyes. But as mentioned, the game is still in development, and I was wondering, Ashantan, if you had the means to influence the developers or do whatever you want to further the game, what would you tackle first? What would you like to have in the game that's not there yet?
I would very much like to see the bow and arrow improved.
Mm.
In Minecraft, I was a superb archer.
Mm.
And I don't find it as good. That's a small thing. But in general content, I love the fact that we've got wind power. I love all the wooden mechanics around it. It just works so well and so logically.
Mm.
I would like to see water power rather than steam. And then I think also, I think they're working on this. I would very much like fruit trees.
Oh, yes.
And I think they're really thinking this one through.
Yeah.
Because we've got something called a pulverizer that pulverizes rocks. I can just see something being developed with the wind power or water power that would get a crusher going so that we could crush fruit into fruit juices and things like that.
Alcohol.
And I think it would be pretty wonderful to have proper fruit trees.
That could be awesome.
I'm not alone in that. I think the developers also would like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the list that the community could vote on with updates. What I also really like, and this is going a bit on a tangent, actually, is that they don't set themselves like dates. They have these little lists of things, and they go to the community and say, hey, we would really love to do this, but we can't decide, so you decide for us. kind of thing. But they don't set a date. They don't say, oh, we will be done with this stuff until the end of this year or something, which I think is really nice because on the one hand, sure, you will not know, so people cannot get excited for a specific date, but rather for the content itself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't put any pressure on them. And I really think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. The other thing I would like to hear is what you would like to see in the game next.
I think what I really, really like is some form of better transportation. Like either rideable deers, I'm just dropping that again, or rideable goats, I don't care. Or something like trains. Trains are always a good idea, but I think trains we will only get once we already get into Steam Age, so that will probably have to wait a bit. But I would really like transportation means. I'm in love with rideable animals, so in every game I come across, so that would be awesome to have. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine, though, if we do have rideable animals, I bet the wretched things will die of cold or hunger.
There's so many aspects. Vintage Story always makes it not easy.
I do fancy the idea of having a white reindeer with beautiful emerald green saddle.
Oh.
And sort of riding through the countryside. That would be magnificent.
It would be awesome, yes. And I think
The other thing I would like is fish traps.
Oh, yes.
And animal traps. They would be so easy to design an animal trap with a few twigs and some twine.
I mean, there's mods for that already. And I think so. If there's mods for it, it shouldn't be too bad too complicated to put it into the game. I'm not a modder myself, so I wouldn't know. But.
Well, the other thing you haven't mentioned is that the game is set up so that it can be modded.
Or to go even a step further, the base game itself is a mod of itself. So what we're playing is actually a mod that's set on top of like the basic skeleton of coding. So
great.
So it's really easy for modders to get into the system and to do their own stuff. And which also means that we already, in early access, we're having a really great community of modders doing like really nice stuff with the game already.
Yeah.
And actually I'm planning to invite some modders as well and interview them in the same way. So.
Oh, you should do. You should do.
Yeah, you can look forward to that.
Yeah.
But that's for future tales, and this one is coming to its end. We've had a lot of fun talking about the game, and hopefully you listeners enjoyed it just as much.
Now, to wrap this episode up, I'm gonna point you all to Ashantin's videos. Definitely check them out, I really recommend it. And of course, you can always come to the Discord, visit us, and get to know all of us directly. And that's it. That's a goodbye from us, from me, and...
Goodbye from me, Ashantin. Bye-bye.
I hope you're all having a great day, and don't let the wolves bite you.